You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Duncan, in for Beth Rujak. The Duchess of Malfi is said to be one of the finest English Renaissance dramas. The play is filled with intrigue, betrayal, family conflict, sexual jealousy, schizophrenia, mental and physical cruelty. The Forgotten Theater Company has a production that is underway now, continues through July 1st. And joining me in studio is Phil Ryder, the director.
Hi.
Leigh Affinity, the Duchess of Malfi. Tyler Anderson, the Duke Ferdinand. And Jesse Jansen, Daniel de Bassola. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Great to have you all here. Okay, so let's start with the name of the company, the Forgotten Theater Company. How did you come up with that title?
It was just one of those things that came off the top of our heads when I formed this company a little over a year ago with Yola Meringrider. And we were looking for our aim with this is to produce either forgotten or neglected great drama. And that can be comedy, tragedy, whatever. But we want to kind of rehab plays that for one reason or other have been under the shadow, in this case, under the shadow of Shakespeare and Shakespeareana. Mm-hmm. And it's on a par, I think, with some of Shakespeare's plays. But that's a kind of jokey thing. People say, how did you come up with that? And I sometimes say, I forgot. But really, that's the rationale behind it.
So what makes The Duchess of Malfi a standout play?
The language, great poetry, maybe not in many cases as sophisticated and subtle as Shakespeare, but there are some amazing lines. The characterization is brilliant. I'm not playing in this production, but I know that the actors have really enjoyed exploring the characters. They're great characters, really well written for actors. Webster was involved in theatre for quite a long time. He knew what he was doing. He had great stagecraft. Sometimes he's a bit clunky, but then Shakespeare plays sometimes are. Very dramatic, a lot of tension and a lot of mystery, and particularly for audiences watching this who will not be as familiar with this Renaissance play as they would be, say, with Hamlet. Mm. You don't know what's going to happen next. And this play is full of shocks and surprises.
And what do we know about John Webster?
Very little. Rumour has it that he was a tailor, or his father was a tailor, and he was a kind of lower middle class kind of character who drifted into theatre very much in the way they believe Shakespeare did. He probably wasn't very good at much else.
He's so connected to Shakespeare in what way? Tell me
about
that.
He's a member of Shakespeare's company, we think, but he's certainly active in the King's Men, which was Shakespeare's company, so-called because they were patronised by King James I. The King's Men performed at least two plays by Webster. The other one, the companion tragedy, is The White Devil, which also has a woman as a central character. And this was produced maybe two or three years after Shakespeare's last complete play, The Tempest. And some of the actors that acted in a lot of Shakespeare plays and created some of the great roles acted in the original production of Duchess of Malfi. We know this. It was very rare, but in the published copy of the play is a list of the actors that created the roles. And you don't find that with Shakespeare plays for some reason.
That is Phil Ryder you're listening to. He is the director of this production. Let's talk about the roles in the play and the style as well of the language.
Sure.
And maybe we can insert a short reading here with you all as well. But first of all, Leigh Affinity, tell me about the Duchess of Malfi and your role.
She's a really interesting character. You know, Phil said that this play is sort of appropriate given the Me Too movement and everything that's happening. And she's a very powerful, independent woman in love, essentially, who's her brothers, you know, try to keep her from what she truly wants. And so it's just a story of a woman fighting for what she wants.
Tyler Anderson, you play the Duke Ferdinand. Tell me about your role.
Well, the Duke is basically the main antagonist. He's the one who orders all of the terror and destruction for the revenge of what he believes is a slight to him and his brother by their sister, the Duchess. And so in doing so, he reveals his madness and it gets worse from there.
And Jesse Jansen, Daniel de Bassola, what about him?
He's a fairly complex character. I think in a lot of classic pieces, the, you know, there's very clear lines between somebody either being, you know, a hero or being a villain or antagonistic, and he sort of muddles the line. He's sent in as a spy from the brothers, from Ferdinand, to spy on the Duchess to see what she's up to, and he sort of stirs the pot and gets the trouble brewing.
Well, let's hear a bit of this, and the language too is very special. So,
oh, yeah.
You guys have your scripts ready, and
yeah,
before
can I
we
just
start,
introduce the first
yes,
little
please.
Snippet here? It's just a brief encounter between the Duchess and her obsessive brother, the Duke Ferdinand, who actually is her twin brother and very close to her in many ways. There is another brother, the Cardinal, who's kind of the mastermind, the intelligence of the Machiavel behind it all, but he doesn't appear in this scene. He's just left, and then Ferdinand is left with his sister, the Duchess, really warning her, do not consider remarrying.
And this is done in blank verse.
Yeah.
Okay, and can
blank
you explain that just for
right,
somebody?
It's unrhymed iambic pentameter. That is it. So it's got that typical rhythm to it. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We're very close to English pronunciation, so it's suitable for dramatic poetry. It's the language of Shakespeare, and I'm sure that Webster was influenced by the master. Mm-hmm. So here we go.
Here we go.
You are my sister. This was my father's dagger, do you see? I'd be loath to see it look rusty, cause 'twas his. I would have you give o'er these chargeable revels. A visor and a mask are whispering rooms that were never built for goodness. Fare thee well. And women like variety of courtship. What cannot a neat knave with a smooth tail make a woman believe? Farewell, lusty widow.
Shall this move me? If all my royal kindred lay in my way into this marriage, I'd make them my low footsteps. And even now, even in this hate, as men in some great battles, by apprehending danger, have achieved almost impossible actions, I have heard soldiers say so. So I, through frights and threatenings, will essay this dangerous venture. Let old wives report I winked and chose a husband.
So this is a good time, perhaps, to talk about the parallels between the Duchess of Malfi and the Me Too movement regarding sexism and the abuse of women and obviously the mayhem in this play. So tell me a little bit about that.
This play seems to be very focused on the abuse of women by rich, powerful, corrupt, lecherous men, which will sound somewhat familiar. When we chose to do this season, we chose plays that had a woman as a central character, and the season is called The Flaming Sword, Women in Conflict. And we were well into the planning stage with the Duchess of Malfi when the Me Too movement erupted last fall. And so it's gained a sort of topicality, which we're very happy to embrace. Webster seemed to have a sensitivity about this. It's unusual for the central woman of the central character of a Renaissance drama of any kind to be a woman. And his two great plays do that as a focus. And without giving anything away, mm-hmm. A number of the women in this play, not just the Duchess, are treated very, very badly at the hands of men. This is now just a warning to everyone that comes to see this play. This is not Beauty and the Beast. Don't expect a deliriously happy ending.
So it's the Beast and the Beast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some beauty in it as
okay.
well, of course, yeah.
So yeah. Tell me how envy and greed and family and all of that rises up in this.
It's reflecting the age when fairly recently Queen Elizabeth I, Gloriana, the great English monarch, had died. And the country was, the whole kind of nation of Britain was plunged into a kind of depression and confusion. And all the religious conflicts and the political conflicts that had been seething under society, which Queen Elizabeth had been very skillful at managing, went. And people were moving to the extremes. And that made for a very unstable society. And the drama, the tragedies particularly of that period, 1603 to 1630, took on this kind of pessimistic, gloomy tone. And this play is kind of a classic reflection of that. Therefore, morality seems to have been put to one side. You haven't met this character today, but there's one of the brothers of the Duchess, the Cardinal, is a real conniving politician who manipulates everybody and everything. Therefore, for his own particular financial and political ends, and manipulating Ferdinand for his personal ends, mayhem follows. Shortly after the next scene you're going to hear, mm-hmm. which is a very brief scene between Bosola and the Duchess, he's been put into a household as a spy, and he's trying to find out who she might be married to, who's the father of the children. And he gets into her confidence, and you'll see how he does that and what a disaster this is for the Duchess in this scene.
Fare thee well, Antonio. Since the malice of the world would needs down with thee, it cannot be said yet that any ill happened unto thee, considering thy fall was accompanied with virtue.
Oh, you render me excellent music.
Say you?
This good one that you speak of is my husband.
Do I not dream? Can this ambitious age have so much goodness in it as to prefer a man merely for worth without these shadows of wealth and painted honors possible?
I have had 3 children by him.
Oh, fortunate lady! For you have made your private nuptial bed the humble and fair seminary of peace. No question but many an unbeneficed scholar shall pray for you for this deed and rejoice that some preferment in the world can yet arise from merit.
As I taste comfort in this friendly speech, so would I find concealment.
Oh, the secret of my prince, which I will wear on the inside of my heart.
Past sorrows, let us moderately lament them. For those to come, seek wisely to prevent them.
A politician is the devil's quilted anvil. He fashions all sins on him, and the blows are never heard. He may work in a lady's chamber as here for proof. What rests but I reveal all to my lord? Oh, this base quality of intelligence, or why every quality in the world prefers but gain or commendation. Now, for this act, I am certain to be raised, and men that paint weeds to the life are praised.
I can't tell you how much work these guys have put into these characters. Very intensive, very creative, very painstaking process we've been through to produce this, and I trust that people who come to see the show will appreciate that. And it's been a lot of fun, but hard work. Mm-hmm. Hard work.
Oh, yeah. And on the flip side of all the darkness, what about the inspiring qualities about the show?
None.
Oh! Well,
don't come to get inspired.
In the midst of all this mayhem,
yes,
this Duchess is a towering, strong, feminine figure who, although she's subjected to pretty horrible things, never loses her integrity and her dignity. And what happens to her because of that courage is truly moving. I've seen this many times. I cry every time I see this show because of that. It's so inspiring and really kind of grabs you in the heart. So it gives you some hope for the future.
Yeah. And I think that it is in the end a very inspiring show. And I think that this play in particular, it scrapes the bottom as far as the kind of darkness that it's willing to plunge the audience into, in the interest of being able to have a clear message in the end. I think that is actually really inspiring.
Well, I thank you all for coming in today. Sure. It sounds like a marvelous play. Mm-hmm. Phil Ryder, you've been listening to quite a bit, the director of the show. Leia Finity, Tyler Anderson, and Jesse Jansen, thank you so much for coming, and I wish you great success with the rest of the run.
Thank you so much, Beth.
Thank you.
The Duchess of Malfi continues through July 1st. It is at California Stage, 25th and R in Sacramento, Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30, and a Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. We have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.